The Blue Jays talk is upon us at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Hopefully, as Jerry said, the weather does hold off tomorrow, because you'd love to see Brandon Morrow out there in a big league game as opposed to just throwing 75 pitches inside to get his arm going and sitting down for 5 minutes after every 15 pitches. Edward is in St. Catharines. We're going to lead off with you, Edward. Welcome to the Blue Jays talk.
Hey, thanks. First time getting through.
All right. Well, I'm glad you managed to.
My question for you is, what are your thoughts on our bullpen so far? Because
I think the Blue Jays bullpen is going to be really, really good again. It does?
Well, one day we're good, one day we're not. Do you really think...
Are you talking about spring training, or are you talking about last year in the regular season?
No, spring training.
Oh, well, it doesn't matter. I mean, when you say one day they're good, one day they're not, you know, one day it's Steve Delabar and Sergio Santos and Aaron Loop, and one day it's Richard Blyer and Liam Hendricks and Deck McGuire.
Do you think spring training doesn't mean a thing? Do you think it's good enough where we can compete? Because we're going to have a lot of one-run games. Do you think?
Well, I don't know about that either, but I think the bullpen is outstanding. I think it's one of the great strengths of this team, just like it was last year.
So you think that Jansen can save 40 games this year?
I have no idea whether Casey Jansen can get 40 saves this year. That all depends on how many save situations the Blue Jays get into. But Casey Jansen blew 2 saves last year and 3 the year before. So I expect Casey Jansen to have a very, very good year. And if he doesn't, well, there's Sergio Santos, there's Steve Delabar and Brett Cecil, both of whom went to the All-Star game. There's Aaron Loop. There might be Dustin McGowan. It's a stacked bullpen that's full of closers.
Yeah, but I just, look at what the second half. I just have doubts.
Why do you have doubts? Just because of the second half?
No, I think that a lot has to do with, confidence. As soon as one guy has a bad night, it looks like it's like a chain reaction. And they can't have that this year.
Wow, I don't know where you came up with that impression. I mean, that certainly wasn't the case in last year. I mean, I know that Cecil and Delabar weren't as good in the second half as they were in the first half, but Jansen was fantastic all year. Santos was fantastic whenever he was healthy, and McGowan as well. I think maybe Edward I hope you can turn this around, but I think you're kind of looking for something to be negative about, and there's no reason to do that with this bullpen. It's bullpens are they're touchy things, for sure. I mean, very usually across Major League Baseball, if a reliever has a great year one year, he's not going to have a great year the next year. And it's tough to really predict how relievers who are not the top of the top of the top are going to do. And I don't know that Steve Delabar is going to be an all-star again or Brett Cecil is going to be an all-star again. But you look at Casey Jansen's track record. You look at Sergio Santos's track record when he's been healthy. You look at Aaron Loop's track record. These guys have shown to be very, very, very good relief pitchers, and I really don't think Blue Jays fans need to worry about that. And their confidence is certainly not fragile. They don't get down in the dumps if one guy has a bad day. Nothing could be further from the truth with this group. I appreciate the call. I hope you can, see them for what they are instead of looking for reasons why they might fall apart. This is a very, very good bullpen that the Blue Jays have. And if one or two guys struggle, there are two or three other guys who are also really, really good. So, I think the bullpen is going to be a wonderful strength of this Blue Jays team. Mike in Mississauga, you're next.
Yeah, hey, Mike. Lucky you in Florida, eh?
I hear it's a little cold and snowy up at home.
Yeah, what are you going to do? You know, with the Jays, give us hope for next week. We get some live, real bullets flying out there. So I just think, everything's positive up here. We can't wait for the boys to come back home.
Tied for first, baby.
Hey, listen, what's the thoughts on the rotation? I mean, Redmond was really solid the other day. And yep. I seem to have more confidence in him than Jay Happ right now. And I mean,
you're not alone.
This lineup is phenomenal. So, I mean, like my neighbor, he's real negative. And I just think you guys need to get some hope alive. And with this Redmond in there, I think we can be pretty solid with this lineup.
Well, you know, for me, I'd love to see Dustin McGowan get the fifth spot in the rotation. I think McGowan, more than anybody else, has the stuff and the experience. And, you know, when you look at those guys competing for that fifth spot, Happ and Redmond and Esmail Rogers, really none of them have been successful long-term as a starting pitcher in the major leagues. Redmond did a nice job last year for them, no question about that, but he averaged, what, 5 innings or 4.2 innings per start, and that's just simply not good enough. He was not good second time through the order. He was not good third time through the order, and that's what we saw yesterday, too, with the Tigers. McGowan is phenomenal stuff. He has done it before, and when he's healthy, which is very, very rare, but when he's healthy, he's been tremendous. So I would love for him to be healthy enough to get the opportunity to be the fifth starter. But otherwise, you're right. The lineup is very strong. The offense is really good. The defense is a lot better than it was last year. I just talked about the bullpen and how good the bullpen can be. You don't have to have a world-beater fifth starter. Nobody does. And Todd Redmond would do an okay job for a month or a month and a half or however long you need him until Marcus Stroman gets enough development time in AAA, or until Aaron Sanchez gets enough development time in AA, until they can take over and be that killer starter that the Blue Jays are looking for. I agree with you on Happ. He doesn't inspire a lot of confidence. I'm very interested to see what he does Tuesday, if he should make that start against the Pirates, weather permitting. But he doesn't inspire a great deal of confidence in anyone, and it's a problem because the Blue Jays can't send him down. And $5 million is not that easy to be traded for a mediocre starting pitcher.
Yeah, and that's why I'm really, really curious to see what's going to happen. And when is McGowan? He's starting like in a couple of days or something, right?
He's going to start a minor league game on Tuesday, and they're hoping to get him to 65 pitches. We shall see. We'll be keeping an eye on that while we're in Bradenton watching the Blue Jays and the Pirates. Thanks for the call. We are going to step away for now. If you're on hold, stay on hold. We will continue the Blue Jays talk right up until 5 o'clock Eastern time on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and on sportsnet590.ca. But we do have to let the rest of the country go. Which, you know, but if you call and you're elsewhere across this vast great land of ours, you'll get to hear the show on the phone while you're on hold waiting to talk. So 1-888-666-0590. Everybody else, 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell. Blue Jays beat the Yankees 3-1. It is the Sportsnet Radio Network. And soon the cottage will be a possibility. Believe me, the Blue Jays are back 1 week from tomorrow. It's opening day. Spring is right around the corner. The Jays will be down here in the Tampa St. Pete area to take on the Tampa Bay Rays 4 straight. To open up the season. First, though, 4 more Grapefruit League games, then 2 games in Montreal. Mark Burley confirming to us that he's going to get the start on Friday in Montreal against the New York Mets. Saturday is Brandon Morrow's day. Don't know if he'll make the trip or if maybe the Blue Jays give that start to somebody like Aaron Sanchez. Today, the Jays beat the Yankees by a score of 3-1. Burley, taking a 3-hit shutout into the 6th inning, winds up throwing 98 pitches over 6 1/3. Very strong frames. Sergio Santos, Brett Cecil, Steve Delabar, and Aaron Loop finish it up, combining on 1-hit shutout relief work. Tomorrow, we are on the television, or at least Jerry and Buck are, and we're on BlueJays.com as well. Brandon Morrow gets the ball as the Jays host the Philadelphia Phillies. Join us at 1 o'clock Eastern. You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Home Hardware. Homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Sportsnet Radio Network. For Jerry Howard, Joe Siddle, Tom Young, Derek Brandeo, Dan Riccio, and Joe Sicilia, I'm Mike Wilner. Bye-bye from Tampa.
Ground ball through to the right side. Base hit. Edwin around third. Getting the wave home from Luis Rivera. There's no throw from Carlos Beltran. Edwin scores to second base. Moves Lind. And the Blue Jays in flight here, leading the Yankees 1-0.
Second inning. And that gave the Blue Jays two on and nobody out. And after Colby Rasmus' strikeout, Brett Laurie got drilled to load the bases with one out. But Ryan Goins bounced into a double play, so the Jays could not add on, but they did get two more in the fifth. Rasmus, Laurie, each with singles, and Goins bunted them over, but Michael Pineda's throw to first on the beautiful bunt up the third baseline hit Ryan Goins in the back. That allowed a run to score. It allowed Laurie to move to third, from whence he scored on a wild pitch. 3-0 Blue Jays, and that was more than they would need. They beat the Yankees 3-1. The Jays have won five in a row now this spring. They started the spring 3-0. Then they lost a bunch. Well, they only lost three straight to get back to 500. And then they were kind of hanging out around 500. But they had those four straight losses and five out of six that dropped their spring training record to 7-11. It's now 12-11 with four Grapefruit League games to go. Then the two games in Montreal on Friday night and Saturday, those do not count as Grapefruit League games. So these are the real fake games. Those are the fake games because they don't happen in Florida, I guess. Four left, and we're going to see Brandon Morrow start one. We're going to see Jay Happ start one. We're going to see R.A. Dickey start one. And I'm not sure who goes on Thursday. It's Drew Hutchison's day, so maybe he will get that final start against the Philadelphia Phillies. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Blue Jays Talk, spring training style. This may be our last Blue Jays Talk of the preseason, so give me a call, 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. And I'm pretty sure this is going to be our last Blue Jays Talk until opening day. So this is your last chance to get in before it starts for real. So get in and we'll talk. Dave is in Toronto. Dave, welcome aboard to the Blue Jays Talk and stuff.
Thanks, Mike. How are you doing?
All right, thank you.
Right on. Just got a question on Jeremy Jeffries. I know he's got a big power arm, but he's out of options. It's a crowded bullpen. Where do you put him? What do you do with him?
It's a really good question. And you know what? Until earlier this week, I would have said, well, you know what? Jeremy Jeffress is out of options, and he's not shown well this spring, and he's never really put it together at the major leagues, although he had a very nice September last year. It's time. And there are other guys here who they need more. You got to see what happens. Try to trade him. Put him through waivers. But then Port Charlotte happened. And Friday in Port Charlotte, Jeremy Jeffress retired the first seven batters he faced, and he looked unbelievable doing it. And that was David DeJesus and Evan Longoria and Will Myers, Jason Nix and Logan Forsyth, major league hitters, and he just was destroying them, blowing them away. They had no chance against him, and you see that, and that makes you think, wow, this is an arm that you really, really have to hold on to. So I don't know what they're going to do. When you look at the way things appear as though they're going to break down, you've got Todd Redman and Esmiel Rogers and Jeremy Jeffress at the bottom of the bullpen, all of whom are out of options, assuming that Jay Happ or Dustin McGowan gets that final spot in the rotation. If McGowan doesn't get the final spot in the rotation, then he's in that bullpen mix too, and Rogers, Redmond, and Jeffress have two spots available to them. Who do you keep? Who do you not keep? You would hate to give up on an arm like Jeffress. And I don't mean this to sound bad, I guess, but you don't so much hate to give up on an arm like Todd Redmond. Todd Redmond is not going to blow anybody away with his stuff, but Todd Redmond gets outs. And Todd Redmond can be valuable as an emergency starter or as a long reliever going through the batting order once. And he's been a good soldier for this team. So you feel loyalty to him and you want to keep him, but you're so tantalized by the stuff of Jeremy Jeffress. and I remain tantalized by the stuff of Jeremy Jeffress. And to be honest with you, I don't know what to do. I think maybe your best option is to have Jeffress, Rogers, and Redmond all in an eight-man bullpen, but do you want an eight-man bullpen? And McGowan in the rotation, but then what do you do with Jay Happ? It's not an easy question to answer, Dave.
Yeah, that's why I asked you.
Well, what would you do?
I don't know. I feel the same way. I mean, he's got a power arm. It seems like his medical problems are behind him, as far as I know. I don't know. I agree with you to put McGowan in for the fifth spot. You're going to get more out of him than anyone else you mentioned, even if it is just five innings, right?
Yeah, I think so, too. And that makes that decision harder. I want to take a seven-man bullpen. And, you know, Matt Tuiasosopo kind of throws a wrench into that mix. If he's going to make the team and he's not going to make it over Moises Sierra, maybe there's a trade in the works. It'll be very interesting to see what this team looks like on Friday. And you know, what happens as everybody else has to make their cuts and deal with their guys who are out of options. I think that there's a trade to be made. I don't think it's going to be for like a Jeff Samardzija or a front of a rotation guy or anything like that, but I do think there's a trade to be made, and I think that there are one or two too many bodies in camp right now who don't have options that the Blue Jays are going to have to lose if there's no trade. Appreciate the call. We move on to Diego in Milton. You're on the Blue Jays talk on a five-game win streak.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for making it.
I'm very optimistic. Mind you, I'm always optimistic about the Jays, but I'm not worried about their offense. I'm looking forward to seeing a full, healthy year from Cabrera. I think he's going to be a pleasant surprise. I'm looking forward to seeing the improved defense as well. I agree with your assessment on the bullpen. My question for you, and I guess my concern, and I'm sure a lot of people's concerns, are starting rotation, and I would like to know from you the realistic possibilities that this rotation can take us. Because, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it was the Tigers and the Athletics who basically used six starters last year the entire season, correct?
The Tigers did. I'm not sure about the A's.
I know the Tigers for sure as well, but like,
yeah.
Knowing we used 13 last year and the outlook of this year, what is your realistic assessment of this bullpen or this starting rotation? And can they carry us to contention, I guess?
I was going to say there's no reason why they can't, but there are a lot of reasons why they might not. But there's very good reason to believe, I think, that the rotation is good enough. Given the offense, given the defense, given the bullpen. I honestly don't understand the notion that so many Blue Jays fans seem to have, and maybe it's just the people who tweet me, or the people who call in the show, I don't understand the notion that this rotation is in shambles or that this, you know, there are huge problems all over this pitching rotation. There really aren't. R.A. Dickey, Mark Burley are dependable starting pitchers. And Dickey, while he had a poor first 2 months last year, had a very, very good last 4 months once he was rid of the back and shoulder problems that that affected him over the course of the first 2 months. Brandon Morrow, can he stay healthy? That's a big question mark. It's always going to be a big question mark with Brandon Morrow, and you know he would love that that it's not, but unfortunately the track record states otherwise. Brandon Morrow can be a great starter. We saw that 2 years ago when he had an ERA under 3 in the American League East, if he can stay on the field. Drew Hutchison, honestly, I have no reason to believe that he's not going to be a very good mid-rotation starter. He had Tommy John surgery. Tommy John surgery is routine now. It happens all the time. Most guys bounce back, and they're just as good, if not a little better, than they were before they had the surgery. And Drew Hutchison looked so good in his last four or five starts in 2012 before he got hurt as a 21-year-old with no experience in AAA. I expect that Drew Hutchison is going to be a really, really solid piece, and he's going to be one of those guys that, you know, nobody expected to help contribute, or that the fan base wasn't counting on at all, and he's going to make 32 starts, one hopes, and be really, really good. And the fifth spot is going to start very differently, I think, than it's going to finish. Whether it's McGowan, whether it's Happ, whether it's Redmond, I think Esmiel Rogers winds up in the bullpen no matter what. We'll see about that. But you've got Marcus Stroman, who's really, really close. And you've got Aaron Sanchez, who's really, really close. And those guys kind of jump up and make contributions to teams that make playoff runs. Look at Pittsburgh last year with Gerrit Cole and St. Louis last year with Michael Wacha. Aaron Sanchez is almost every bit the prospect as either one of those two guys. So we'll see. But, yeah, I have a lot of faith in this rotation. I don't think that they're going to have five guys or six guys all year. I think it may well be eight or nine. But I do think it's certainly going to be good enough. If the Blue Jays aren't contenders this year, it shouldn't be the fault of the pitching rotation.
Okay. All right.
I know that's not what people want to hear, but it really is the way it looks to me. I appreciate the call. They don't have to be world beaters. You don't have to have an all-star as your fifth starter. Ideally, you would expect that if healthy, and remember how many starts the Blue Jays got from guys who had no business being in a Major League starting rotation last year, and that's why they had the second worst ERA among starters in the league, and that's why they had the second or third lowest innings pitched from starters in the majors. I don't expect any of that to happen. It wasn't because the starting pitchers that the Blue Jays were counting on were bad. It was because the starting pitchers that the Blue Jays were counting on were hurt. And guys that they couldn't count on had to make a lot of starts. 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance. 1-888-666-0590. I just want to answer a question on Twitter from @TOJaysFan. He says, I thought Happ still had an option left. J-Happ does have an option left, but it doesn't matter because Major League players who have five or more years of service time are allowed by the collective bargaining agreement to refuse an assignment to the minor leagues. That means if the Blue Jays want to option J-Happ, who has 5 years and 47 days of service time, they can't without his permission. So if they want to send him down, he has to say, okay, I'll go down. And I wouldn't expect that would happen. So if J-Happ refuses to be sent down, they have to keep him on their 25-man roster or release him. And I wouldn't expect that would happen as well. So, no, he's not out of options, but, yes, he can't be sent down unless he's okay with it. Tyler in Edmonton, welcome to the Blue Jays Talk.
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm just calling to get your take on Aaron Sanchez. You just mentioned him, but I'm really wondering if the time in the minors, like the extra time in the minors, is necessary for him.
Well, he hasn't thrown a pitch in double-A yet.
Sorry?
He hasn't thrown a pitch in double-A yet, not one.
I understand that, but what's the difference between him and Drew Hutchinson? You look at the numbers in the Arizona Fall League, and Aaron Sanchez was dominant. He was a dominant pitcher, and he was mentioned many times that he's one of the best pitchers in that league.
In how many innings in the Arizona Fall League?
When does it get to a point that you give someone that chance, that's all?
When he's had success in double-A, I think. The difference between him and Drew Hutchinson is that Drew Hutchinson made six starts in double-A and then made, 11 starts in the major leagues before he got hurt. That's the difference. Drew Hutchinson is 2 years older than Aaron Sanchez. That's another difference.
Drew Hutchinson's 23 right now, right?
Uh-huh.
And Aaron Sanchez
that's
is 21.
That's why I said he was 2 years older.
Drew Hutchinson was pitching when he was 21 in the major leagues.
Yeah, and I expect Aaron Sanchez will be pitching when he's 21 in the major leagues also.
Do you think he'll make the jump before fall? Before September?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So?
Oh, yeah. If he stays healthy. I could see him up in the middle of May.
Absolutely stellar. Sorry?
I don't think he has to be absolutely stellar, but he does have to get better. He didn't dominate Dunedin last year. He walked 40 guys in 86 innings, which is a little too much. He had an ERA of 3.30 and a WHIP of 1.2. All good, but certainly not dominant, dominant, dominant. And he's gotten better every year, which is terrific. But I get the excitement. I really do. He's an exciting pitcher. But baseball is really hard. And it takes a lot of cooking and a lot of development. And for Aaron Sanchez, a high schooler, to make it at 21 is incredible. But, you know, who gets to the big league straight out of A-ball? It almost never happens. And there's no reason for it to happen in this case. I just think, you know, and history will agree that it's important to have a guy be well-cooked by the time he comes up. And I know that the reaction for a lot of the fans, and no one will admit it, of course, but for a lot of the fans who want Aaron Sanchez starting the season with a major league team, if he comes out and gets his ears pinned back two or three times, all of a sudden the Blue Jays rushed him. Let's not do that. Let him go and have some outings in Double A where the competition is much, much better than it is in A ball. Let him dominate in Double A. And then let him come up. Henderson Alvarez, they only gave him six starts in Double A, and he came up as a 21-year-old. Drew Hutchison, six starts in Double A, and he came up as a 21-year-old. Give Aaron Sanchez six starts in Double A. Have him in the major leagues May 1st if he's ready. I have no issue with that at all. Eric in Ottawa. Eric, you're on the Blue Jays Talk.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to an absolutely incredible baseball season. I think the AL East is absolutely monstrously stacked, I should say. And, you know, less than 100 wins could win it. But, Lord, I hate this one-game playoff wild card round. MLB going to think about changing that?
I hope not. You know, you don't want your division winners sitting for 5 days and waiting and getting stale.
I think
that's the biggest thing for me.
One home start, you know, even a best of three.
Yeah, but then, you know, then you're making the division winners finish the season on Sunday and not start the playoffs until Friday. And even that, you know, you got to have Monday off for tiebreakers, and you might even have to have Tuesday off for tiebreakers too. And then you do your best two out of three Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and open the playoffs on the weekend. That's a whole week off for the division winners. You want to have a reward for winning your division, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I think they definitely deserve an edge. But I've sat on this for a year, and my opinion hasn't changed. But hopefully it'll lessen. But regardless, it's going to be an incredible season. I like the team chemistry the Jays have going into the season. Any chance Kawasaki's going to stick with the big club?
There's always any chance, but there's not much of a chance. He doesn't really fit well with the spots that the Blue Jays need to fill. And I know everybody wants him to start in the major leagues. And you know what? If Jose Reyes' hamstring bugs him to the extent that he has to start the year on the DL, and it's a possibility, even though the Blue Jays say that it's a minor thing, if he has to start the season on the DL, then maybe Kawasaki, though I think they'd probably lean towards Chris Getz a little more. But optically, Kawasaki is the guy that they would want to bring up, and he only has to play second base and with Ryan Goins at short. So we'll see. But if everybody's healthy, it's going to be very, very difficult to have Munenori Kawasaki on this team. I appreciate the call. We're taking more calls at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, and long distance 1-888-666-0590. Mark Burley started this game for the Blue Jays and was fantastic. He took a three-hit shutout into the sixth inning, wound up working into the seventh, giving up a run on seven hits, no walks, even though he didn't have any strikeouts, and he was just picking the Yankees apart like he always does. 98 pitches, 61 of them for strikes. Burley addressed me and several other members of the media assemblage after his outing was over. Here's what he had to say.
Just didn't want to show him everything. He kind of started mixing it up, you know, about halfway through the game.
R.A. wanted to hit 100 pitches twice this spring. You came really close to that today. I don't know if that happened last spring. Was that part of your plan, too, to ramp the pitch count up a bit?
Plans, whatever Pete says. So he just I think last time I was five and a third. I went out for a sixth inning. Like today was mostly just go back out for another inning, you know, get into seven innings. So he said next game, go out, depending, it could be three, four, five, six innings, just kind of whatever, kind of scale it back a little bit before before the opening start.
Did you want to go out there for that last couple of hitters in the seventh inning? Was that your idea or theirs?
That's theirs. I'm an employee here. I just they tell me to go out, I go out. So, you know, I just said, hey, you're at 84 pitches, I think I was, and he wanted to get me over the 90-pitch mark, and so I went out there and faced a couple of hitters.
At this point, is it just a matter of getting the pitch count up, or are you looking for the crispness of your stuff? Or
A little bit of everything. I mean, I think it's the big thing is get your pitch count up, but I think once you get to games where it counts, I mean, just something just clicks, and it just you realize, you know, hey, this ain't where it's you know, even my last two starts in the minor leagues, you know they can roll over innings. Here you can't. You just something clicks about it, and you know, hey, look, I can't just get my ass handed to me in the first couple innings and our first couple batters, and they're not going to roll the inning over, so you got to get out of it. So it's just something clicks, and you just I don't know, you just figure it out.
What's the plan?
I think the first one in Montreal, and then that's what he said, three, four, five innings. Just we'll talk about it in between here, and you know, go out for next start, and just like I said, it could be 40 pitches, it could be 70 pitches. I really don't know.
Is that just totally up to you, whether you want to back up?
Kind of both of us. I mean, just kind of talk about it. And, you know, usually I think we go into the season with one extra day, but since we had that rain out early, kind of messed everything up. So he just said he wants me to make sure I'm strong going into the first start. So his idea was to scale it back a little bit.
You worked on your French?
No. I probably won't leave the hotel except when I go to the field.
Is it exciting at all to have that last start before the season be in a 40,000 seat stadium, a former big league stadium?
It definitely helps out. I mean, you get in that atmosphere and the adrenaline pumps a little bit more because, you know, there's a bigger crowd even coming here. I mean, you know, a little bit bigger of a crowd. And yeah, that's what I'm saying. Just everything just kind of clicks and it kind of becomes real once the game starts.
So there's Mark Burley, his thoughts about this game, his thoughts about starting in Montreal. And his thoughts about his lack of French. Lines are open. We're Blue Jays talking it up. A 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, and long distance 1-888-666-0590. We'll take one more call before we break. Dan in Toronto, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, first-time caller. I was in Dunedin yesterday. I said hi to you. You were walking by me. I was with my kids and Nate, the MC guy. He told me to give you a call, but I just wanted to talk.
I'm glad you
did.
Yeah,
no, I thought it's not so hard to get through. First time, so I heard you talking about Sanchez. I saw Sanchez pitch, I think it was against Philly last Wednesday, and he looked great, but I can tell you the thing that I was most impressed by, he got up, I forget what inning it was, but bases loaded, no out, and he got out of it. And I mean, he's poised. I think he's ready, but I agree with you. I think he needs at least a couple of months in Double A, get a few starts under his belt, and you know, see where he goes from there.
Yeah, that was a game against the Orioles looking here. He came in the sixth inning, bases loaded, nobody out, and he got Nolan Reimel, did a comebacker for the 1-2-3 double play, then another little weak nothing back to him to get out of the inning. And he has, you know what, he's pitched out of trouble, he's fielded his position well, he's looked poised, he's done all those things. You're 100% right. But, again, for me, and I agree with you, he hasn't thrown a single pitch above A ball.
Yeah, I know, for sure.
There's nothing to lose by letting him get better.
Exactly. No, I agree with you. I heard some fellow calling saying, why not just take him up now? And I just, you know, I'm with you. I mean, we're not going to lose anything by having him down in Double A for a couple of months. And he does look great, but you also don't want to put him in a situation where he gets, you know, blown out or something bad happens to him and he's inexperienced and he takes a step back. So just curious, too. Dan Johnson looked great down there. And I was a little surprised that he got sent down. Do you think he's going to have any chance coming up this year?
Sure, I do. I think that you know, if something happens to Adam Lind or to Edwin Encarnacion, then Dan Johnson is the perfect guy to call up. and help out for a little bit. If they need an extra bat off the bench, say when they go into interleague or something, then Dan Johnson, again, perfect guy, very dangerous left-handed bat off the bench. And in September, if the Blue Jays are in a race, a really good bat to have off the bench. And he's shown that he can hit some big home runs in big games. I like Dan Johnson a lot, and I would love it if there was room for him on this team, but it just doesn't appear right now as though there is.
Yeah, no, again, he was clutch. I saw him, I forget, I think that was the Philly game. He got a ninth inning hit and a tenth inning hit for that comeback,
yep.
And it was great. So, anyway, Mike, I just wanted to say hi. I'll be calling in a little more regularly because it isn't so hard to get in, and I enjoy your show, and I look forward to a great season. I think they've got the ingredients, and I think everybody's got to be patient, and they've got the right attitude. So we'll see what happens.
Thank you, Dan. Appreciate the call. Yeah, I guess it's a little tougher to get in during the regular season, but we'll see. I do appreciate it. And Dan's right. I saw him while I was walking up to the Blue Jays clubhouse the other day, and he said, oh, why are people always so negative on your show? And I said, well, give me a call then. And he said, all right, and he did. So that's good. I'm glad it worked, and he came through on his word. And the Blue Jays came through today with their fifth straight spring win. They beat the Yankees 3-1. More Blue Jays talk coming up as we continue on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
And loop to Kanzler. The ball is hit the right field deep. Long run for Sierra. He's running out of room. He's at the wall. He jumps, and he makes the catch. The throw back to the infield. Tagging at second base is Wheeler coming to third. Moises Sierra jumped, and at the height of his jump, picked that ball off with his back up against the wall. What a catch. Two down with Yankees at first and third here in the bottom of the ninth.
That was a really nice catch by Moises Sierra. The wind just pushed that ball farther and farther and farther. It looked like a routine pop-up by noted lefty killer Russ Kanzler, and it wound up being about 4 feet from a three-run walk-off home run. Instead, stayed in the park. Sierra made the catch. Aaron Loop struck out Yon Jervis Solarte, and that was that. The Blue Jays beat the Yankees 3-1, five straight wins for the Blue Jays. And quality performances from the starting pitchers, they've now had four in a row. Starting with Esmil Rogers against the Phillies back on Thursday, then Aaron Sanchez in Port Charlotte was phenomenal on Friday. Yesterday, a very good outing from Todd Redmond for the first five innings. And today, once again, Mark Burley takes a three-hit shutout into the sixth, winds up going into the seventh inning, allowing a run on seven hits, no walks. Didn't strike anybody out, but he's Mark Burley. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Blue Jays Talk. We're here in Tampa, and what's amazing is that the New York Yankees are this enormous leviathan in Major League Baseball. They got more money than everybody. They've got more tradition than everybody. They do it up so well and so right. And they have, without question, the worst internet connection for the press in all of spring training. It's without fail that it will fail often. And it has failed now. So I can't get on to look at what's going on. And I have Derek Brandeo telling me that Ross in Toronto is up next. So, Ross, you're on the Blue Jays Talk.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm all right, but I'm wondering why this multi-billion dollar corporation can't have decent wireless internet for the press.
They spend too much on the team, that's why.
That must be it. That must be it.
Okay, I think the Blue Jays offense can carry them until the pitching gets sorted out. I think it's going to be Todd Redmond or Esmil Rogers that'll probably be the fifth starter. I know you want Dustin McGowan, and I would too, but I just don't see them giving it to McGowan. I think they're going to put him in the bullpen.
We shall see. It's possible either way. I think it's up to how Dustin feels and how Dustin rebounds and whether he can carry his stuff into 80 or 90 pitches. I've suggested that even if you can only get 75 out of him, I'd rather have 75 out of him than out of Todd Redmond or Jay Happ or Esmil Rogers, but I don't think the Blue Jays are going to go that way. But we shall see. But, I mean, that's just one spot in the rotation. It's not like the whole pitching staff has to get sorted out.
Thing with Burley, he beat the Yankees today. He usually doesn't beat the Yankees. So maybe it's a sign of good things to come.
Why not?
I hope
Why
so.
Not? It would be lovely.
I'll be there the second. I'll be there the day after opening day. I couldn't get an opening day ticket, but I got a fan pass, and I'll be there most of the season. So I'm excited to see the Blue Jays this year.
I'm glad to hear it. We need more people who are excited to see the Blue Jays this year. I understand that the off season was not. They didn't accomplish what everyone hoped they would accomplish in the off season. And I understand that last year was such a horrible letdown off of the expectations. But and therefore, I understand the crush of negativity from the fans. And, you know, I can't sit here and say they're going to be better this year, even though I think they're really going to be better this year. And I can't fault anyone for thinking they're going to be let down again if they get their hopes up. So let's watch, and I think we're all going to enjoy the 2014 season. Barry is in Toronto. Welcome to the Blue Jays Talk, Barry.
Hi, Mike. It's a pleasure to hear your voice after a long, tough winter.
Thank you very much.
It means spring is here.
Spring is here. It's spring right now, even though there's snow on the ground up there.
Oh, yeah, you can't tell by that. The so-called phantom tag at second base, how
yep.
prevalent is it, and how much do you think there will be challenges as to whether the second baseman or shortstop actually touched the base?
Here's the problem, Barry. You can't challenge that.
Oh.
And I don't know why they've selected that. Maybe they feel as though middle infielders will be more prone to injury if they actually have to touch the base. I think it's beyond ridiculous, but the phantom tag is not a challengeable call on instant replay.
Well, so be it.
So baseball does not want it eliminated, very obviously.
I guess.
Okay, it's too bad.
That was my question.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I wish I had a better answer for you. I think instant replay is wonderful. I would like it to be a lot more expansive than it is right now, but they're just starting, and it's a good start. They're finally into, you know, the late 20th century as far as trying to get all the calls right. And I don't think there should be challenges. I don't think it should be up to the managers. I don't think any of that. I think someone's got to be sitting in a booth in New York or at every stadium or whatever, looking at every play and
that must be
making sure every call is right.
Most often taken advantage of.
I don't know. It was taken advantage of a lot more in years past. They've cleaned it up quite a bit lately, but it's still that neighborhood play at second base where the middle infielder making the turn on a double play relay doesn't always have to actually touch the base. That bugs me just as much as it bugs you. I appreciate the call. We shall see. Dave is in Toronto. Dave, welcome aboard.
Hi there. You may not like this call, but you know, I'm one of the believers. I've been a Jay fan for a number of years and followed them heavily in 92 and 93. And you can't even compare the team to what it is today. I have a feeling they're going to finish the last. They made no changes. There's too many, you know, there's too many stories. If there's too many things that need to fall into place for them to be even competitive. And it's just really heartbreaking, you know. I don't think they have a true leader at the helm to lead them, you know, into the promised land. And I just think there's too many stories. I think there's too many unknowns. And I think, you know, New York has improved their team. Not really that much sure about Baltimore, but I think Boston will always be there. And Tampa will always be competitive. And I just think it's going to be a really saddening year this year for Toronto fans once again.
Okay. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. If you want to feel that way, you're more than entitled to. I would think that a critical look would tell you otherwise, but very obviously, if you're going to call me and say that you think the Blue Jays are going to finish dead last, there's nothing I'm going to tell you that's going to change your mind. That's fine. Brandon in St. Catharines, you are next on the Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for taking my call. I was just curious if you think that Todd Redmond, if he gets handed the fifth spot, do you think there's a possibility that the justification for bringing eight men north to be in the bullpen would be because of a piggyback system? Maybe you have Esmail Rogers or Jay Happ or whoever's in the bullpen, or McGowan, be the guy who piggybacks Redmond, because it's been thrown around on Twitter and I've seen it. Redmond actually does really well the first time through the order, sometimes the second, but as we saw yesterday against the Tigers, by the time he gets around to the third time in the order, he gets hit hard. And maybe the Blue Jays' justification for bringing eight men north would be to have Rogers or Happ or whoever it may be the piggyback starter. Maybe he comes in the fifth inning and carries on from there.
Not going to happen. Yep. The thing with Redmond, when you look at the actual numbers, he's worse second time through the order than he is the third time through the order. And he was better two of his last three starts last year, and then he didn't even make it out of the first inning in his final start. I don't think the Blue Jays will take a guy if they think they have to have someone piggyback with him, because it's just not a smart use of two roster spots. I know that some fans, and I've seen it too on Twitter, the idea of piggybacking, but the situation isn't that dire that they need 2 3-inning guys at the bottom of the rotation. If a guy can't get hitters out the second time through the lineup, then he shouldn't be a starting pitcher in the major leagues. And so that's one of the things that's working against Todd Redmond when they're trying to put this staff together. I think the only justification for them bringing an 8-man pitching staff is to not lose bodies, and maybe also because there's no fantastic option to be your fourth man on the bench. But I do think that even if they do break with an 8-man bullpen, it'll only be for a week or so, just like they did last year, to save Jeffress and then sneak him through waivers a week later.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Mike. I was just curious if you thought that could possibly happen.
You know what? I think it's super cool. I appreciate the call. And I would love to see a Major League Baseball team take 6 pitchers and have them throw 3 innings each every third day, and then a normal bullpen for the 7th, 8th, and 9th. I think that I would love to see that. Have a guy start, throw 3. Have another guy come in, throw 3. And you do that on a 3-day rotation. And you flip-flop them. One day one guy starts, 3 days later the next guy starts. That way there's opportunities to get a win that are spread out over the course of time. So that not so one guy gets all the wins and one guy doesn't. That's not fair. And agents wouldn't like that very much. But I'm all for that. And you can do that with a 12-man staff. You can have 6 innings out of those 6 pitchers, and then the other have 6 relievers to fill the final 3. I would like that. I think that's a possibility when you don't have a bunch of guys who can get really deep in games. But when you're talking about one spot in the rotation and you have to piggyback him, where you have 4 other starters and a whole bullpen to work those other 5 guys, I don't think it's a good way to utilize your roster as efficiently as possible. But I don't think they'll ever try that other way either. Mark is in Newmarket. Mark, you're on the Blue Jays talk.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, Mark, go ahead.
Correct me if I'm wrong. We're not a small market team, are we? Or that's city-wise in baseball?
No, you're not wrong.
So what I don't understand is Paul Beeston, and he's been great over the years, and maybe you can answer my question on this. Why are we not going out and signing people, and why is it like a 3-year window or a 4-year window? He won't exceed that?
He won't go more than 5 years on a long-term contract, and he said that many times, and he's backed it up with facts. When you look at it, you look at all the contracts in Major League Baseball that have been signed that have been longer than 4 years, or longer than 5 years, about 90% of them have been abysmal failures. So, I can't blame Paul Beeston for doing that. Pardon?
Would you be in agreement taking that route, or would that not handicap us when we try to go out and sign somebody? Like, does that not put us behind
it
the
depends
eight
ball? Who that somebody it depends who that somebody is. And again, until we get to the point where those 6, 7, 8 year contracts are being signed by players who are actually good through 6, 7, 8 years of their contracts, then I can't blame him for not doing it. But, you know, Brian McCann wasn't coming to Toronto. Jacoby Ellsbury wasn't coming to Toronto. Those big free agents, Prince Fielder the other 2 years ago, wasn't coming to Toronto. I don't think the Blue Jays are handicapped by the five-year thing. Not yet, anyway.
Okay, that was my concern. You know, last year was last year. I'm not saying we're going to finish last or first. I think we have some good talent on this team. But that was my concern. I'm glad you answered it for me, and you're doing a great job, not only on this show, but your play-by-play. You're amazing, and I thank you for that.
Aw, shucks. Thank you. That's very nice. I appreciate it, and I really have enjoyed becoming more of a regular doing the play-by-play on this Blue Jays broadcast. You know, something you never think is going to happen, and it's pretty amazing. That's it. I'm sorry for those of you to whom we could not get. Hopefully, there'll be quick games in Montreal, and we'll have the opportunity to Blue Jays talk it up again. Remember, tomorrow, weather permitting, TV game on Sportsnet, and you can hear it on MLB.com through the audio package. Jerry Howard and Buck Martinez will have the call. The Blue Jays and the Philadelphia Phillies. Brandon Morrow gets the start. We're on at 1 o'clock. Thanks to all of you for listening to Tom Young, Derek Brandeo, Joe Sicilia. I'm Mike Wilner. Bye-bye.